RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It is G&D here on The Fan. There's no G, but there is a K. That's Kedrick Golston hanging out with us for the duration. We've got show today, show tomorrow, then nothing Wednesday and Thursday, then we're back Friday, but we're not back here on Friday. We're at Caddies on Cordell this coming Friday. GP and I will be back. The show will be fully armed and operational at that time, so see you out there at Caddies heading into the final week of the NFL season. So let's put a bow on this conversation, Ked. Final thoughts at 800-636-1067 before we move on to our next topic of the moment. The 49ers are 12-4. They're going to play for the one seed. Either way, they're going to the postseason. Either way, I've been arguing for the last month that everybody's kind of overlooking them, right? Because their schedule was on the softer side. I mean, it was. That's just statistically factual. And they are getting healthier, and they won that epic game last night to be 12-4. They got a chance at the one seed for more health, right? They can get a bye in the first round. I think that's an unreasonable expectation that Washington should be right there. I'm not advocating that. What I am saying is you can't be picking 7th overall at 4-12 heading into a pretty empty calories game to end the season against Philadelphia. You can't have lost 4 straight games by more than 21 points for the second time this millennium. Like, nobody else has done that. It's epically impossible. You drop one like that, that happens. That's the league. That's the sport. Somebody jumps up and gets you. Not 4 straight weeks of it where there's very little adjustment other than Joe Witt changing seats. This can't just be an injury thing. There's something else there.
No, for sure. On the surface, it's easy to say, right? Like, oh, it's injuries, right? But you have to go in, you got to look at each game and the reason why things are happening, right? Because in order to improve, right, in order to change, you got to identify, right? And so areas of identification, right? Like, what are we doing defensively to stop the run? What are we doing in the back end so that we don't have guys running open down the middle of the field? Offensively, right? Like, how do we accentuate the things that we think are pluses for us, yeah, right? Like, how do we get the ball to Debo more, right? How do we scheme it up for Terry, right? And I know those guys have been in and out, banged up, right? Mariota is a former first-round pick in this league, and we know what he is. And at times, right, he's played well enough for us to win football games, right? But in his other times, he's had terrible turnovers that have lost us games, right? And so you don't win every game the same way, and you don't lose every game the same way. And so it's up to this staff, right, going into week 17, right, like it is what it is, to really go in and just not chalk it up. Because like you said, right, NFL, you have injuries, right? These are not all pro-caliber guys. I wasn't either, so it's no disrespect to any of them. But to go in and say, how do we survive knowing that injuries are going to happen, right, and is what we're doing good enough to compete week in and week out to get a spot in the playoffs so that then we do have a chance to go compete for a championship?
Let's go to line one. Will in Virginia, kind enough to hang on for us. What do you say to people that just kind of dismiss this season as injuries and that's it?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And Kedrick, you're great on the radio. Would have loved you in Tennessee Orange instead of Georgia Red.
Well, I'm sending a Kedrick to Tennessee. My oldest son, Kedrick Golston II, is enrolling in Knoxville
on
the 15th. Yes. So you got the slimmer version, a little bit more athletic, so I think you probably got a good deal of that.
Will, hold on. I actually didn't know this. What, is he playing football?
So my oldest son, Kedrick Golston II, is going to play linebacker at the University of Tennessee. He is enrolling January 15th.
He's doing the early mid-year, practice
mid-year,
stuff. Yeah.
Mid-year. So he's going to Knoxville. So I am a Georgia Bulldog. I bleed red and black, but I will be wearing the construction orange, the Tennessee
How
orange.
Did that conversation go? Well, sorry, you're pivoting all this. So you're going to live studio audience thing. How did that go? Where he's like, I'm going to Tennessee, and what did you say? Did your face betray your feelings?
So a little bit of insider baseball. My defensive line coach, Rodney Gardner, coached me at the University of Georgia.
Yeah.
Coach Gardner's now at Tennessee, right? So obviously Coach Gardner knows how to work the Golston household. And so I'm sending my son to him, really excited for him. Oh, obviously Coach Heupel and what they're doing down there. It's a good time to be a Tennessee Vol. So,
well, your son better be in shape because that offense ain't waiting around. They're playing tempo. If they go three and out, it takes 11 seconds.
There you go.
They don't care. Will, sorry about that, buddy. You're back on. You took us down a little rabbit hole there. What's up?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, man. No problem. Hey, Tennessee's become defensive end you and, you know, Pierce, Young, and Joseph, man. That's awesome. Congratulations. But I'll say, I mean, with the injuries, maybe if we had a full complement of our players, maybe 2-3 wins tops. But I really look at the build on defense. You know, you look at so many young safeties around the league are very talented, right? And you got Jalen Petrie in Houston, Nick Cross, Hufanga, so many good young safeties. And we brought in Will Harris and a converted Quan Martin. Nothing against those guys, but defensive end. You know, a lot of our players on defense seem like depth guys on other teams. And, you know, you look at these DNs around the league, I just feel like the previous regime and a couple draft picks here the last 2 years, we really missed on a lot of young talent that seemed to filter in on the defensive side of the ball. You watch these teams in the NFL today, a lot of these good teams, they're so fast to the ball. They cover the flats well, and they're serviceable against tight ends. We just seem to get killed when it came to that. Anyway, appreciate it. And, Kedra, congratulations on your son playing, man. Faison Brandon will be a good quarterback, too. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll appreciate it. Let's go to David in North Kakalaki. What's up, man? You're on the fan.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
Hey, buddy.
So I'm not one that sees the glass here half full. I think there's so many red flags here. I think 1 year from now we'll know much clearer if JD can stay on the field. If he can't, we've got serious problems. We weren't even close in so many games, and so. But I don't know if you saw the chat. I was the guy that proposed this trade with Vegas. I think it would be interesting to see if Vegas would do this deal. You know, Crosby is a defensive end we would love to have. What if we traded, just go with me on this, if we offered them JD for Crosby, 2 first rounds from them, and we swap next year's first round, that would allow us to get the prototypical pocket passer in Mendoza. He's not fragile. He's not going to get hurt. I mean, I know the fanboys are not going to like that idea, but we're never going to get as much value for JD as we would now.
David, appreciate you, bud. We're going to move on to something else, but I'll answer the question. Your last point is correct. Hear me out. You're not going to get more value for him than trading him right now. The reason for that is because the commodity is too valuable, too important, and too good. You see what I'm saying? A star quarterback, I still think of him that way, on a rookie deal with 3 years at a bargain price is invaluable. So yes, that's true, but it's also the reason why you keep him. When you've been in the wilderness, you don't sit down at the finest restaurant in the world and go, I'm gonna keep looking for another restaurant and hoping there's another Oasis. No. You got him. Now, if it doesn't work, it's very reasonable that you tried to make it work.
Listen, Crosby's a great player, but they're not in the playoffs either. For all his greatness of Max Crosby.
He's a badass.
We talked about Myles Garrett, right? Like what he is, right? Like, I'm a defensive lineman, so all the respect in the world, those guys are going to be Hall of Fame players. You need a quarterback. You have to have a quarterback if you want to compete week in, week out in the National Football League to win football games, right? And so Jaden Daniels, 5, whatever it is you want to call him, right, he has the right temperament. He's proven to us, if you made his highlight tape, right, if you did his highs and his lows, right, he's proven that he can be a top-tier quarterback in this league, right? Injuries, different system, sophomore slump, whatever you want to say. The reason I'm excited about him, right, is that he's always been the same mentally, right? Yeah. So that means, you know, old school term, right, he's cut from the right cloth in my book, right? That he is a guy that is going to take this year. He's embarrassed. He's disappointed, so on and so forth. He's going to get healthy, right? He's going to get with his receivers. He's going to get with his coordinators. He is going to improve, and he's going to be the catalyst for this whole team improving because he's going to demand it because that's what he's proven to me, whether he was at Arizona State, at LSU, and now here, right? That he isn't just expecting everybody else to help him. he's going to improve on himself, and then that in turn is going to make everybody else better.
Let me ask you this. Well, I've got you. As a guy that played this league and now, you know, coaches at a very high level here locally in the D.C. area, to me, the key for him is to be available, is to be healthy. Some of it is beyond your control. They get hit in the pocket, see, you know, the famous Tom Brady injury, they change their season, they go 11-5 with Matt Castle. But guys get hurt. It's part and parcel for the NFL. It is unbelievable what you guys do. But the extra hits, quote-unquote, one of the most contacted quarterbacks in the sport, and whether you say this was freakish the way he went down against Seattle, whether you say this was freakish the way he went down against Green Bay for injuries, the point is, there are a number of those bad hits that he took where you go, oh my God, and then he's actually okay. But the point is, the process to me is scary, is something that I think needs adjusting. What's your view on that? Where you go, I need you healthy, man. Whatever you've got to do to stay healthy, I need you healthy. Let's figure that out. Is that adjustable? Is that a fader you can change?
You know, it's kind of like, you know, we all talk about like a quarterback that can run, right? And that's what Jaden is, right? He is the new quarterback, right? They're not guys. We can say what we want to say, right? Like the day of a guy just standing back there throwing from the pocket, those days are gone, right? Yeah. Because you got guys that can throw from the pocket, but they also can run around the yard, and they add another level of complexity that defenses have to account for. So that ship is sailed. It's not the runs where you see him taking these hits. It's not the designed runs, right? It's the off-schedule scrambling out of the pocket, trying to extend the play, maybe try to get a yard or two, right? So more so than ever, right, like quarterbacks are protected, right? You got to use what the rules are giving you from the NFL standpoint to – live to fight another day, right? Live to fight another day. And they say, well, let's get the Nationals out there so they can teach him how to slide, right? Like, whatever he needs to do to feel comfortable to protect himself, that's what he needs to continue to work on, right? But in this season, right, he's fighting for a win, because even when he did play, it wasn't like they were just winning every game he played, right? So he's a competitive guy that you don't want to take that away from. You just want to get him to understand, right, like, hey, there's a time where we can fight for the extra yard, and here's a time where we don't need to, because ultimately the best ability is what? Availability, right? And we still need to develop a young quarterback, and that's what he is going to do. So it's just a learning process, right? The thing that doesn't bother me about the injuries, it's not the same exact thing, right? So he got an elbow, right? That happens, right? Hopefully they were smart. They shut him down. He'll recover from that. He'll get a full offseason. The hamstring injury, he's a quick twitch fiber guy, right? Like, he's going to have some soft tissue injuries along the way. How do you continue to develop him from a throwing standpoint in and out of the pocket so that when he isn't 100% healthy, which nobody is at this time of the year, you can still go out there and play at a winning type level?
What's the view from – now I'm curious. I'm going down a rabbit hole with you. From teammates – when a shutdown like this happens. I mean, to me, it's like, this is easier for me to say my fat butt in a chair, not in the locker room with you guys that are going through hell every week, right? Playing with bumps and bruises and dislocations and getting shot up with Toradol and everything in between just to get in a car wreck 70 times. I mean, it's unbelievable what these guys do now, what you did. So this is as tough a sport as they come. This one, hockey, and a couple others are kind of in that mode. When this sort of shutdown happens, my view, because I get to be a horse's ass outside looking in, I go, you lost the right to complain when you got your ass kicked a bunch. When you're 4-12, you sort of, you know, if you're 12-4 and it's like, okay, you've got a little bruise, we're going to sit you down. It's going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. But when you have been this bad and everyone's getting replaced, I mean, this is how jobs get lost. I kind of don't really care anymore if you're going to complain. Give me your thoughts as a guy that's been in those locker rooms. And how would you react to this sort of shutdown thing?
You know, it's funny you say that because little shout out to the past, right? For some of you all that don't know, Jason Taylor, right, defensive MVP of the league, actually played in Washington for a year.
For like 7 seconds?
7 seconds, right. Shout out Jason Taylor. He's the defensive line coach at the University of Miami. The best – when he got here, he was a superstar.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm going down a rabbit hole, but – the most professional, hardworking, realistic guy I've ever been around.
And that calf injury that just wouldn't go away. It kept getting worse.
Yeah. And so we're out there in training camp, old school training camp, 2-a-days. You know, there was no heat restrictions. I think they were still giving us salt tablets at that time. That being said, there was a day where Jason Taylor and London Fletcher didn't practice. And here I am going into year three or whatever, and it's hot as all get out. We're practicing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It hadn't rained in 60 years in Virginia. It's just gnats in your mouth, gnats everywhere, right? Uh-huh. And I made some comment. I don't remember exactly what the comment was. But Jason Taylor said, hey, man, all things ain't for everybody in this league. The NFL is not fair, right? And I say all that to say that Jaden Daniels is a huge part of this organization's success, right? And so as somebody else, right, like you are 53 independent contractors all working for this entity to go out there and win, right? And so you have to really, it's not selfishly, right? You have to be the best version of yourself. You have to go out there and produce at a high level because they are going to replace you. But there's other guys in this locker room like a Josh Johnson, right, that people are excited for him to be able to go out there and play, right? Because here's another guy that is going out to practice day in and day out, that is competing, you know, when Jaden was playing on the scout team. And so there's other backups that are get opportunities when guys get shut down and the locker room is happy because now that guy's being able to go out there and show everybody what he's been working on and all the hard work that he's put in, right? So it's not just about the star players. It's also, you know, guys that are getting opportunities to play when somebody does, quote, unquote, get shut down.
I like that perspective. That's Kedrick Colston. I'm Danny Ruye. This is Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Double play coming up at 3:45. Beltway Blitz at 4. Spinning around what's going on in the realm of Washington, D.C. sports. Next, kind of piggybacking off the topic that we just spent some time digesting about injuries and the like. It gets me thinking about Adam Peters to a degree. This is a, you know, Grant and I both kind of buck and roll our eyes at the in blank we trust thing. But a guy shows up and goes to the NFC title game in his first year of a build, you've earned some credibility. I think that's perfectly fair. It's also perfectly fair to raise your hand and ask a question. To that end, if you got one question of Adam Peters right now, this minute, what would you want to know? 800-636-1067. We'll hear from Ked, hear from Darius, producers. I'll answer that as well. 800-636-1067. If you had one question to ask Adam Peters right now, this minute, about this season, about what happened, what didn't happen, what he's going to do, etc., what would you want to know? We'll do that next on Grant and Danny.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Couple things, Darius. Thank you, as always, for the Eric B. and Rakim. I don't know if you did that on purpose, because you have a couple of 40-somethings hanging out in the room, but it means a lot. That's number one. Kedrick Colston, Danny Ruye with you. We have a topic, but this is groundbreaking. This literally just happened the commercial break. You'll notice, as Grant likes to say, my lips are filled with smile. We just came there in accord, Kedrick Colston and I. I think I'm going to have Ked over to the residence to play some pickleball. Ked is in. He said, and tell me if I'm misquoting you, Ked. I want to play pickleball, end quote.
total facts, like the young kids say. Like, I've been looking for a place that is safe, a safe space for me to indulge in pickleball. I think I have one.
So wait, you are an active pickleballer, or you want to get into it?
I'm a former racquetball player. Okay. Right. So growing up in college,
it's the gateway drug.
It is the gateway drug. But, you know, it's nothing, and you better get out the middle of the court in racquetball, because I'm gonna send it right up your back, because you're trying to control the space. Right. That being said,
can you imagine, by the way, trying to get around Ked playing racquetball, the bear in the corner is like, I'm standing right there.
That being said, space violation. Danny. Has the ability to has his own pickleball court.
I do.
Right, and so
believe me, we know.
I am all for going out there and learning and competing, and this is going to be fun. Like, I'm all smiles. I'm excited about it because it's going to be really cool.
That is fantastic. So what I'll do is we can do a little one-on-one sesh, just a couple rule basics and things like that. Then I'll get a little crew together. We'll have a little 2-on-2 situation, right? So you play get the full pickleball experience.
Let's go. I'm down. Like, just you have my contact information.
Oh my God.
I knew something important was gonna happen today. I thought it was the show. It's this actually it. I got pickleball buddies now.
Oh my God. You don't understand what this means to me. You're an awesome dude, and that'll be fun. Everybody kind of doesn't like me around here, and that's really what this is about. The things that I want to do and talk about and like be a part of, no one cares. You know what I mean? Like, everybody kind of is like, that's great, man. Could you just do your job and leave me alone? The fact that you're interested at all, I'm over the moon. I'm so excited.
Because it's interesting. Like, yes, the rest of them are wrong.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's Grant and Annie here on The Fan. I will contain myself and be professional. We have a radio program to do. Then we'll play 3:45. Bellway Blitz at 4. To the actual topic. Adam Peters earned a lot of runway with what has happened here. I think he had a choice, Ked. Just my own editorial before I get to the actual message. I think when he first arrived, I think he had a choice. Look, because I know we've over-talked about the Rivera regime, etc. But he looked at the roster and a culture here with new ownership and everything else where nobody that's here has ever won. Nobody that's here right now has ever experienced much of anything positive. We could go the route of the normal rebuild where we get rid of kind of all the old, bring in our guys, get our teeth kicked in for a year, maybe two, and then sort of build this thing slowly but surely. You look at some of the other organizations that have done that, whether it's a Buffalo, his own San Francisco 49ers, took their lumps and then kind of started something pretty special, right? That's kind of the normal course of things. The other choice, I think, and this is what they did, was we need to set a baseline. We need a Wagner, an Ertz, a couple other guys that have won, that know how we want to do it, so that they can impart some of that to some of these young guys that will be here. And we're not going to be great, but we'll be better maybe than we could be. Take a little shorter path to success. Well, it worked really, really well. And they won 12 games, won the NFC title game. And so I understand doubling down on that. I think that was a choice that they made consciously from year one. And it worked so well, the establishment of this culture, the way that they're treating players, the way that they operate in the building, the way that they spare no expense in terms of, we're not, you know, hey, what's best for you? Is it to go from Cincinnati to Arizona? Yes, do that. We're just doing it. We're just doing the right thing all the time. So he's earned the benefit of the doubt in a lot of ways. This year went so poorly, though, I think it's fair to ask questions. And that brings me to the topic, 800-636-1067. I'll start here, let you go first. If you had one question for Adam Peters, whether it's based on this year, his plan going forward, et cetera, what would you want to know?
You know, for me, and what this new regime has done is everything that they can control, travel, facilities, mm-hmm. nutrition, they've A-plus off the charts, right? So they are the things that they have the ultimate control, and they're doing at an extremely high level. My question to Adam Peters would be, if you had to give him some truth serum, and he was 100% truthful, what have you learned from this year to last year, and how would that change your decision-making in the future? I want to know what he was thinking when he decided to double down on some of the decisions that he was making and that didn't work out. I want to know, you know, what the thought process was when you made it, and it didn't work out, and then what have you learned from that moving forward? Because ultimately, right, like this season, right, last season is a data point. This season is a data point, right? Mm-hmm. What have you learned, and how is that going to help you to be a better general manager moving forward?
800-636-1067. Mine is similar. When did you know? And what I mean by that is your plan, nobody thought it would be this bad. There's anybody that did is lying. No one thought this would be a 4-13 team potentially. Nobody. I thought they'd take a step back, right? Because you don't always get a Hail Mary. You don't always get to play Cooper Rush. You don't always get to play have everything break your way in some of these one score games. You don't go 90% on fourth downs. Sometimes bad things happen, right? That's normal. So I thought a regression was possible, especially with a more difficult schedule, kind of as you go. But nobody thought the bottom would fall out like this. When did you know, oh my God? And that kind of informs what you're talking about going forward. When did you realize this was not going to work this year? Or have you not still? Right? I want to know that.
That's a great, I mean, like, you saw my face light up when you said that, right? Like, when did you know that we had all these plans, we had all these meetings, it's not going the way that it should, and we probably don't have enough time to fix it, right? Because as a person, right, like, you got to have beliefs in what you're doing, right? Like, you spend all offseason on a plan, you believe it's going to work, right? You have a good process, right? So you don't just deviate from your plan immediately, but in fairness to them, right, concerning this organization, it seems like they have been fast to act, right? Whether it was to get rid of Jarman, right? To trade him away because he wasn't going to fit in, right? To put Chris Paul in because he was playing the best, right? Like, they've shown that they're going to try to play the best football players. And the best football players isn't who's getting paid the much or who has the best draft pedigree. It's who is going out there performing at the highest level, right? That's what they've proven to us. But to your point, that's great. Like, when did you realize we're not who we were last year? And how do we pivot out of this?
This is a poorly drawn analogy, but bear with me. At the height of COVID, I bought a stock, okay? And I go, I'm a genius. What a smart move by me. Incredible foresight. I have seen something that will become, I'm not going to run the company under the bus or anything. And just know that. I gave my thesis to my wife. She goes, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I spoke to other smart people and I go, I love this. Here's why. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. This is my plan. I bought it. Oh, Ked, did I buy it? I bought it. You know what I mean? Like, I money. Just like, you know those t-shirt guns? Mm-hmm. Except money. Shooting out there. And I go, I don't care that it's overvalued right now. This is to the moon. Nothing has been worth less than this stupid stock that I bought. And the time that I had to kind of go, my thesis was incorrect, it took longer than it should have. Because of the conviction I had. I picked this thing. My thesis made perfect sense. It was genius. And when I see you guys in person, you can ask me about the stock and I'll tell you what it is. But I go, this is, I'm too right about this. I'm right. And then finally the moment I had to go, you know what? I'm not right. Was probably longer than it should have been. And I lost a boatload, frankly, on that. That reminds me of this, where you go, this plan makes perfect sense. We were in the NFC title game last year. I'll just do this and this and this and this. When did you know? I think that's important. 800-636-1067. Mark in Falls Church. One question for Adam Peters. What would it be?
My question is, first off, Ken and Danny, thank you for taking my call. I'm going to have to go with our tight end position. Is Sinnott going to be a part of the long-term plan? Are we going to go out in free agency? Are we going to go to the draft? And kind of that leeway into that is, are we going to trade back? Are we just going to go best available? And I think the big part of it is that truth serum key is going to be a big part of it because no GM is going to give away their hand right now.
I know, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he's got to answer your question. He can't just give you the runaround when you ask it. Let's go to Trey in Boston. Trey, what's up, man? You're on the fan.
Hey, appreciate you taking my call, guys.
Sir.
My question would be, if no one had gotten injured at the beginning of this season, what would have been the plan as far as scouting the young guys that we have on the roster? You know, would Johnny Newton still have been able to have the game that he had this past week? You know, would Ben Sinnott be getting some of the targets that he's getting now? Assuming that nobody got hurt, what did he really envision as far as that future moving forward?
That's a great question. That kind of goes to what you and I both asked to a degree, Ked, is I wonder in his heart of hearts, was he like, yeah, we'll be right back where we were last year? Or do you think that he thought, okay, maybe slightly lower floor? Like, I wonder what he envisioned about this roster, this team in the preseason. Again, you don't envision Jaden Daniels missing multiple games multiple times over the year. That's probably impossible to predict to a degree. But I wonder what his roster envision and his season envision sort of looked like before they got started.
Yeah, that's 100% right. You know, I think as far as the question that the caller had about evaluating younger talent, right? Like, we see y'all, you know, the general public sees 17 essentially evaluations, right? But these coaches have off-season workouts. They have OTAs. They watch them in practice, right? They are evaluating the roster in practice and staff meetings, video, all that kind of stuff, right, to put players in position to have success, right? So with Sennett, right, like you drafted him high, right? Like, and sometimes it just takes players a little bit longer, right? Newton, for instance, when we drafted him, he had a Liz Frank. You're talking about a big man, right? A big, powerful man that his feet are very important to him, right? Like, it takes time not only to recover, to heal, to rehab. Now, how are you going to become an NFL defensive lineman, right? What does that look like week in and week out from a preparation standpoint? So the evaluation and the development is always happening, right? But also, when you look at Ertz, right, and what he means to the offense, what he means to developing a championship caliber work ethic, right? And that's what I kind of liked about this group, right, is they kept some of the older guys around that, you know, might be a step slower, right? They're still playing at a high level. But to me, those guys were kept around because they were able to show the younger guys a formula of what it looks like to really be a pro's pro and what it takes both on and off the field to compete at a high level.
800-636-1067. Let's go to Bill in Alexandria. One question for Adam Peters. What would it be?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I guess the one question I would have is how committed is he to this current coaching staff? Because despite all the injuries and everything, I was very disappointed in the way Dan Quinn and his staff on the offensive and defensive side got these guys ready to play. I mean, they gave, you know, what, 20-plus points of margin of losses in, like, for a whole month. The guys can't tackle. You know, I mean, they play with no sense of pride, and to me, that goes to coaching. So I would ask Peters, how is he going to be quick or willing to pull the plug on this this coaching staff? And I know that's an unpopular sentiment right now.
But, Bill, it's not crazy. I appreciate the phone call up against it, given what's happened this year. Let's say, for the sake of argument, Ken, that they had a regular season last year, not the best season this organization has had in 30-plus years. Let's say they went 8-9. Which no one would have been mad about, honestly. The first year, Jaden Daniels would have showed some promise, etc. If the bottom falls out like this, and the point that he referenced, you lose by 22 to Dallas, 21 to the Chiefs, 24 to the Seahawks, 22 to the Lions in four consecutive weeks. You're not competitive. On your way to losing 11 of your final 12, possibly 12 of your final 13, that's on the table in this league, whether it's fair or not. But the deposit of last year did happen. And so that's kind of where the balance sheet is. If this was last year was a regular year, that conversation would be far more towards the front of mind.
Definitely in the mainstream media, if you're being right. And nobody's being honest if we don't factor in the 12-4 record last year.
Of course.
Right? And understanding, like, hey, those guys were just as much a part of that success as they are this failure, right? And so if you view it through the lens of a 9-8 or whatever, a 500 type season, and then this happens, that does change, right, the trajectory or the perspective that we have as fans of this football team. And I view it like this, right? You hire people to do a job, right? And you like, you know, when Dan came in here and interviewed, right, you like what he was selling, right? He came out there, he won 12 football games, right? Is it what he is doing? And obviously what he does as a coach and what the staff does is to get players to prepare, but there's so many moving parts, right? It's, you know, there's so many, like, hey, this guy's being coached one way to do this. We can't get him to do it. We can't pivot right now because nobody's better. So it's so nuanced that I believe, and I truly believe that this organization, this coaching staff, right, is always trying to improve, not only from a player standpoint, but from a coaching standpoint and a culture standpoint, right? So I have to let them come back, right, to take all this information of why didn't it work this year and to try to respond, because is just as much as we're trying to develop players, we still are need to develop coaching as coaches, right? Because then once the coaches know what they're doing, and obviously they're NFL coaches, right? But can learn from this year, now you all are underneath the same roof. You have had some success, right? So now you can grow from that.
And you have two opposite end data points to as you said, exactly. to figure out, you know, what the difference between the two is. So that's why I'm not making any moves this offseason in that regard. But I guess my only point is, like, that's not a crazy conversation to have after the way the bottom fell out this year. I'm not having it. I'm not doing it. But it's also not out of the realm. Let's do Double Play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I got a little story, a little TV show that has swept the nation. We got to talk about. And we'll do a little Beltway Blitz at 4 p.m. That's Kedrick Olsen. I'm Danny Ruye. This is Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Grant Danny here on The Fan. Kedrick Olsen in for GP for the remainder of today. We'll be at Caddies on Cordell this Friday, GP and I, after the new year. So January, we will be fully armed and operational at Caddies, the iconic sports bar right there in the heart of downtown Bethesda. But you hear the music, you know what time it is. Every day at 3:45, a little something called the Double Play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And the Double Play is sponsored, and I should probably have the read right in front of me. There it is, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Ked, you know how this goes. You are a Grant and Danny expert, if I can say that. You lead us off, Double Play.
Listen, considering that this is sponsored by the Honda dealerships all over the Washington area, this is something that they should probably do a study or a poll on, right? And as a listener of the Grant and Danny show that I am, we all know about Danny's fascination, rightfully so, with things flying in outer space that could possibly hit the Earth.
We do know this.
Mine is, can somebody, anybody, the Army Corps of Engineers, NASA, a fifth grade project in Spotsylvania County, please figure out the traffic on 95 South, kind of in that Woodbridge, Fredericksburg area, because for whatever reason, mm-hmm. right, wrong, or indifferent, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Congress is in session or out of session, it doesn't really matter. There is always traffic, and there's not a car on the side of the road. It's sunny skies. It's 70 degrees. But for whatever reason, there's always traffic, and we should know more about this as a civilization.
Number one, you're so correct. Number two, I am consistently amazed by humanity. There are things that we, and you're not trying to blow up your spot here, but you're younger than me. You're in your young 40s. So we lived through the 80s, lived through the 90s.
Yep.
The amount of innovation just within my lifetime, where the idea that I could have a phone, because I dialed. I don't mean, I mean rotary dial. I did that. I would call a girl's house and speak to her father in the hopes of speaking to her. Right? I went through all that. It was a big deal when the children had their own phone line in a given home. We've gone from Mesozoic in that regard to updated fiber optic. I can FaceTime someone around the world. I was in Scotland with my son in his soccer club this past summer, and we FaceTimed home. We had live moving pictures. And it occurred to me, I'm like, that's amazing. We take it for granted now. That's normal. We've come so far. And yet, whatever this is, eludes us. It is such a problem, and it feels like everyone just kind of goes, oh, well, we solve problems. That's what human beings do.
Listen, we study a lot of things, right? Like, we see the money that the federal government spends on a lot of different things, right? We got to study traffic. And I don't know if you need to trick the human mind to, like, stay focused and to stay 70 miles an hour down there and not to figure out if they're going to get off at the pilot station or is that a Bucky sign? Like, whatever it is, whatever it is that's got people slowing down there or I just don't understand it. And I was driving to South Carolina to visit some family before the holidays. And it wasn't Christmas Eve. It was like Monday at like 11 o'clock, right? And I'm thinking, school's out. This should be a nice time to ride. And I proceeded. When I left Northern Virginia, Leesburg area to be exact, they said it was going to take me 6 hours to get to where I was going. It ended up taking me 8 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, that's just a kick.
Because of the traffic, that there shouldn't have been any traffic because there was no accident, there was no stalled cars. And normally, I stay off of 95 at all costs. I will go 15, I will go 29, I will go 81. My navigation Jedi mind tricked me and told me it was the fastest way, and it lied to me.
It's the lying that hurts the most. That and the traffic.
Can't trust it.
Mm. We went to Busch Gardens for my oldest son and a couple of his buddies, including some friends of ours and the family. They moved away. They were able to meet us there. It's actually an awesome day. That holiday Busch Gardens situation is incredible. If you've never done it, I actually recommend it highly, especially if you've got kids in between from 5 until like 14. Everybody was having a great time. There's something for everyone to do. It was beautiful, super fun. We met down there. The weather was great. We walked around, had a great old time. But coming back the next day, my God. I mean, it felt like we were trying to get into a concert. It felt like everyone had to stop and go through a metal detector. Like, or no one had their tickets. It was insane trying to get home on 95. And no matter which way you're going, the HOV's never going that way. Like, I'll pay at that point. If you want to take more of my money, which I think is a crock, but whatever, I'm so fed up in the traffics, I will pay extra to drive on highways that we've already paid for. State of Virginia.
Listen, the biggest travesty up until this point in my life is turning 66 into a toll road. But I'll digress. You know, you would think,
we're
step
on some toes here, but I like
it. Listen, Busch Gardens, King's Dominion.
Yep.
Like, you all got to figure this out because you all are offering a great product, great experiences, right? But that drive home or that drive through can ruin it, right? So we got to get this under control.
That's Ked's Double Play. I'm going to squeeze in mine super quick, Darius. Not tomorrow, but the day after that, I get the final episode of Stranger Things. So I don't know. Are you a Stranger Things guy? You ever watched?
I just watched my first episode. My kids were watching. My kids, I haven't watched it through.
So they're old enough now where they're not going to get scared. They're probably fine.
Probably.
Yeah. I found out.
I was scared off the episode I just watched.
Yeah, it's no joke. Poor Will Byers out alone in the woods, and next thing you know, there's somebody coming to get him. It's pretty terrifying. My 12-year-old, behind the scenes, I didn't even realize this, but he was just sort of ripping through episodes on his computer. And I'm like, are you scared at all? But he goes, starts laughing at me. Like, no. I'm like, okay, I was pretty scared, but whatever, that's fine. We're careening towards the finale. And it's so interesting. I didn't love these final, and I'm not spoiling anything for anybody. I didn't love these couple episodes that they put out here in this final season. They split up 8 episodes into 3 separate installments. A 4, a 3, and then the 1, the final one is basically like a movie. We're setting up the final showdown. Some of the reasons people don't like it, I'm not going to go into. I will say that it's so hard once you've built something so amazing. We saw a lot of shows suffer from this when you get prestige TV shows that start out a certain way, prove that you can do it, and then you get more budget thrown at you. More budget means more toys, means more different things. And you lose maybe the heart of the show. We saw, I don't know if you're a Game of Thrones guy, Ked.
Absolutely.
But we saw that, right? Where they basically had to have 9 episodes out of 10 per season. It's just people drinking wine in a room. That was great, but that's a lot of what it was because they couldn't afford some of the huge things, right? So episode 9 of the first couple seasons, that's where you had all your budget for the big battle, for the big sequences, for the big whatever. It was a major CGI thing when, like, the Mother of Dragons gets her dragons, right? I'm not trying to spoil anything, but it's been out for a while. Catch up, please. It's excellent. Well, by season 4, they're like, oh, my God, I need $50, $60, $100 million an episode. And so you don't care about being thrifty and smart. And you lose a little bit of that heart kind of as you go. So I understand that happens. I get that. But a little bit frustrated, I think, with some of these. At the same time, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt because these guys have created something so special, so cool, so dripping with nostalgia, for Gen Xers, late elder millennials, I would say, that you're never going to keep everybody satisfied because you've got to have these characters do something else. You got to keep having them grow, having them giving them stuff to do. So, for example, Mike, one of the main characters that you've met now, if you've watched episode 1 of Stranger Things, there's not much for Mike to do right now. Mike is kind of like a cheerleader. Mike did his things. Mike was awesome. Mike did a lot of stuff. But now Mike just kind of gives the occasional pep talk, and he's just sort of in the room when other people are going through things. You got so many people. It's so busy. There's not that much for some of the folks to do, if that makes any sense. So they're trying to keep everybody growing, trying to keep everybody adjusting and improving and changing and morphing along as they kind of give you more and more into this universe, into the big bad. I thought these last couple episodes sort of swung and missed a little bit. Still overall, well worth your time. Well worth it, especially if you're in between 34 and 54. All the references are smacking you right in the face, and it's awesome in terms of the nostalgia. But these 3 episodes that they released around whatever it was, I guess it was right around Christmas, probably 6 out of 10s for me when their normal bar is a casual 8, where they get out of bed at an 8 and change.
No, you're 100% correct, and I'm going to watch it right before I come over to play pickleball. I'm going to start Stranger Things. But you said something that really struck a chord with me. As consumers of this content, right, we fall in love with the story. We fall in love with the dialogue, right? It's not all the crazy CGI and all the special toys that we have, right? It's the human beings. Like, I think of Breaking Bad, right? You talked about the Game of Thrones. There's so many other ones. Peaky Blinders, right? Like,
Peaky Blinders movie, by the way, coming out.
Looking forward to it.
I can't wait.
It's the people, the emotion, the raw emotion in which we connect with that makes the shows impact us and why it's much watch TV, right? Like, all the little gadgets and the creative stuff, that's great. But to your point, don't lose that feeling of making us feel a part of it all because it's real life in terms of the universe that you created.
Very well said. That's Kedrick Olsen. I'm Danny Ruye. Great Nanny on the Fan. We're talking Caps. We're talking Wizards. By the way, they're the best team in basketball right now. Sorry about it. All they do is win games, Ked. Talking about the Wizards. We'll do some Caps, Wizards, and the Local 53 on the Beltway Blitz next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.